My guest at this time is Tennessee Republican Congressman Phil Rowe, representing his state's 1st Congressional District. He's also a longtime physician, and he's also leading the charge in the House of Representatives to repeal a provision in the president's health care law, which he says would be the real death panel provision, not the one that raised so much concern back in 2009 and 2010. He joins me now to explain why he thinks this is a huge problem for folks who should have control over their own medical decisions and what his repeal effort is up to at this point. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me on. I think the confusion got when you, those are called, initially what you were talking about are called advanced directives. I have those in my own will where you decide if certain things happen that you want done at end of life. That's not what we're talking about. I mean, every family should have that and have those decisions. As a physician as I am, I've had those discussions with families, and it certainly is not an easy thing to do. It wasn't easy thing for me to write out these things in my own will, but that allows us as doctors and healthcare providers to be able to do what the patient wants, not what somebody else wants, but what you want. What this for our listeners today, in this bill, in its haste to get passed, this provision was not in the House version of the bill. It was in the Senate version of the bill, and the bill never did go through committee in the Senate. It went through a process known as reconciliation. I'm not going to go through all what that is, but there's a provision called the Independent Payment Advisory Board, the IPAB, it's called. I want our listeners to pay close attention to this going forward, because this is one of the worst, most egregious parts of this bill. For Medicare-age patients, which I am, a Medicare patient, we fund so much money in the federal government. You've heard a lot of discussion about the trust fund running out of money in 8 or 9 years, which is true if it continues on its current course without some adjustments to save it. But what this thing does, this provision does, is a thing for 15 people who will be appointed by the president, a payment board provided by the president, approved by the Senate, so it's basically a Senate-approved position, and they will decide how Medicare dollars are spent. If you hit above a certain amount of money, cuts go in automatically, and it takes a 3/5 vote in the Senate, not a simple majority, but a 3/5 vote in the Senate to override this. So basically Congress has abdicated its, or doesn't have any ability to alter these things. Let me give you an example. Today we're talking about the sustainable growth rate. We had a conference discussion about that today. We're going to have a vote on that. And what that is how our Medicare doctors are paid. And we will give up that ability to do that once this IPAB goes in, because if spending level go above, let me give you an example. This year we spend about $550 billion on Medicare. Let's say the demand is $600 billion. Well, you're only going to spend $550, and it's going to come out of providers, doctors and other providers first, and then out of hospitalization. So it's one of the, and Congress should never have given up its ability to control the purse strings. And just to give you an example, one of the most liberal members of Congress, Barney Frank, signed on to this bill this past week. We now have 216 co-sponsors and obviously 218 to pass the bill. We're at 216 now. Because of Congress giving up its ability to control where the dollars go, and not some bureaucratically appointed board. They have this board in England now. It's called NICE, the National Institute of Clinical Excellence. And it makes decisions based on cost alone. And when you do that, you're going to decrease access and quality for patients.
So, Congressman, is this going to be a matter of this board going over case by case, claim by claim? Or are they going to get to a certain point in the fiscal year where they say, we just can't afford to pay for these treatments anymore?
That's exactly what they do. They'll get to a point where first you don't pay the providers. And that's a discussion we're having today. If our doctors, if we don't do something up here, which we're going to in the next week, providers will be cut almost 30%. So the cuts will just come out of the providers first, and then the hospital second. And what happens is the doctors won't see you. So they won't be able to afford to see the patients. That would be me, because I'm on Medicare now. So I am going to be a huge advocate for patients. This has to do with quality of care of the patients. And one of the things I want to make absolutely clear, I've only been in Congress 3 years. I practiced medicine for 31. And the decision about health care ought to be made between a physician, the patient, and that patient's family. It shouldn't be made by an insurance company, and it shouldn't be made by some government bureaucrat. And I don't care whether it's a Republican-appointed bureaucrat or a Democrat bureaucrat. That's not who should be making the decisions.
Some have suggested, Congressman, that probably through this program, but perhaps other aspects of the health care plan, that bureaucrats, perhaps ones on IPAB or elsewhere, would basically, in addition to getting to a certain point in the fiscal year where they're out of money or close to out of money, they would also get to the point where they could look at a specific case and see, well, this person's got so many things wrong with them that doing this other procedure, which is very expensive, wouldn't add a whole lot to their quality of living, and at this point they probably don't have much time to live anyway. Are those the type of decisions we're also talking about here?
Well, I think that's a slippery slope you're on. Initially, that's not how the legislation is written, but you're absolutely right. Once you start down the slippery slope, that's absolutely what happens. When you make it based on not decisions that doctors and patients make, but that bureaucrats and numbers make, bean counters make, that's exactly the slope you get on. You make a decision, well, as they've done in many socialist countries, well, you're above a certain age, you don't get dialysis. You're above a certain age, you don't get bypass surgery, or a hip or a knee or whatever your need may be, as opposed to based on what your needs are.
What do you see as the end game here? What do you get in terms of a sense from the Senate or others about the idea of this actually being repealed? Would President Obama sign this? Would it get support
in the Senate?
No, he would
not. And as a matter of fact, a lot's going to depend on whether this becomes and stay. It is the law, whether it stays the law or not. And the funding is one of the ways we can get at this, by cutting the funding for it. But the president wants to actually, with his jobs bill that he had, that hadn't been his so-called jobs bill, actually he doubled down and made IPAB even stronger, which was really scary because it would made it even more egregious than it is. So that's why we wanted to fight that. The president does not, if he does understand this, I don't think he does. If he had been a physician, as I am, seeing patients, he certainly would never have put anything like this into the law.
Have these appointments been made yet, or is that still
no.
to come?
They have not been made. And let me tell you, they're great jobs, $165,000 a year to deny somebody else's care. And you're in there for 6 years, and you can't be replaced, I guess, unless you are a felon. And, again, you're appointed by the Senate. It's like being a six-year guaranteed full-time 15 people on it job. And it's just a terrible idea. And the more I get around, we started with just myself on this bill, and we've slowly built up to 218, and we're getting a lot more traction now as people beginning to pay more attention to it. And I think it'll be part of the presidential debate next year. Just who do you want making health? Do you want Washington making health care decisions, or do you want patients and doctors making health care decisions? Not insurance companies, and not certainly not the federal government.
Last question, Congressman, and I know this could lead to a very broad and extensive answer, but the argument I'm guessing from the administration here is that, look, these costs have to be brought under control one way or another. This is draining us. You just mentioned that we're less than a decade away from complete insolvency here. So how ready do you sense your conference or Congress as a whole is to really address reforming Medicare in a way that will avoid these types of alternatives and other ways of trying to keep things under control cost-wise?
Well, I'm dying to do it, no pun intended, to get this done. We have to do this for future generations. We spent an hour on the House floor last night, the Physicians Caucus. There are 15, we have 21 in our Health Caucus, and we spent last night an hour discussing why this has to be done to save Medicare, to make it viable for future generations. And certainly you can do it by putting consumers in charge of the choices and not the government. You'll never do it, otherwise you end up with rationing of care. And who has to ration the care are the patients. They have to come in and decide what care is needed, what can be afforded. That's why you have insurance. And I think when we looked at the plan, whether it ends up being, I think a premium support plan with Medicare as a choice is going to be one of the things we have going forward. And you're right, it is a subject for a much longer discussion, and maybe we can have it sometime. But absolutely, I'm ready to try to solve this problem. That's why I'm here. I don't play golf that well anymore, so I might as well do something I'm fairly good at, which is healthcare. So I'm excited about the opportunity to make a difference up here, and by helping future generations, my children and grandchildren, so that they will have a promise made for our senior citizens right now is a promise kept. My mother's 89 years old. We can't change a program for her now. She's going to have the program she has, as she should. She was promised that. For future generations, we have to strengthen it because, as we pointed out, the funds are just not there to keep on the current track it's on.
Congressman, a lot of key decisions and debates to come. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Tennessee Republican Congressman Phil Rowe, also a practicing physician, as you heard, represents Tennessee's 1st Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.